All right, guys, so this is Southwest Ohio Full Court Press's District 4 Bracketology. Tony and I, again, been rolling on. This is our last breakdown of the evening and of the set, at least, as we break down the sectional and district brackets. Again, we'll come back and do all four again at more the regional level because I have a feeling that we're going to have a lot more in-depth conversations after seeing some of these games, and we'll have a little bit better idea of what we're looking at, as some of these are so wide open. But it's D4. I think this is going to be a heck of a bracket. I would say outside of D1 Molar, District 4 probably has the best chance at bringing a state title to Southwest Ohio.
I would agree with that statement.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll get
Because, I mean, Molar D1, they're probably going to be there unless they get bit by someone. D2, D3, I think the rest of the state's got teams that are just
better than what we got.
Better than what we've got this year. D4 is the one other than D1 Molar, you know, and maybe even a team like an Elder or a St. X or a Centerville, potentially. I'm not saying they will, but could.
Yes.
Certainly have a better chance than some of the D2 and D3 schools.
Yes.
So D4, we've got a lot to unpack.
Yes, we do.
So we're going to jump in. Southwest 1, down in the lower part here, just to knock this out of the way, are some of the Cincy schools, I believe. You got Fairfield, Cincy Christian, Lewis Huntington, Elmwood Place, Perry, Lachlan, Felicity Franklin. Who's coming out of that, Tony?
So first of all, I got to give credit because it's Fayetteville.
Oh, sorry,
Perry.
Fayetteville. Perry.
Fayetteville. And then Perry. The other one, the Lewis Huntington. That's actually just you can just go with Ripley on that
okay,
one.
Okay,
it's,
whatever.
That's a whole
deal. Ripley Union, Lewis Huntington.
Yes.
who's coming out though?
It's either going to be Cincy Christian or Fayetteville. One of those two. Fayetteville played, I think Fayetteville won that first game, and then when they get Felicity Franklin, they had Felicity Franklin beat in the regular season and unfortunately couldn't finish it out. So I think they'll beat them this time. Cincy Christian and Fayetteville, though I haven't seen either of them play, I don't know 100% which one of those two. So we can just go with the higher seed and say Cincy Christian.
Okay. So the top half of the bracket, and probably going to be our longest conversation here.
It is.
Let's take a look and see what we got. Because we're going to have some conversations here come up in the sectional final. So, the two play-in games. We've got Ansonia and Riverside, and then Botkins-Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
The Botkins-Bradford matchup, we're moving Botkins on, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Ansonia-Riverside.
I'll make this easy for you. I haven't seen Riverside play enough to know a good opinion, but Ansonia, one of the best defensive teams I've seen all year in D4. Ansonia wins this
Ansonia.
One.
Okay. Yep. Now, the two teams that got the play-in game buys, Fort Loramie taking on Ansonia and Houston taking on Botkins. Is Fort Loramie going to struggle with Ansonia at all?
It'll be a lower-scoring game, but will they struggle? Well, no.
I mean, it's Fort Loramie. It's always a low-scoring game. Houston-Botkins. Botkins is going to march on against Houston.
Yes. Houston is averaging 35 points a game this year. They've been held under 20 multiple times. They're not going to be winning this game.
Jacob Plyman is going to have something to say about that. Now, that takes us to the sectional final then. Botkins and Fort Loramie. The interesting thing to note, Botkins getting the one seed. Fort Loramie at the three. Could have gone anywhere. Came after Botkins. Due to the split in the regular season games, or same strategy as last year, what you got?
Well, of all the games, regardless of division to pick, this was
the hardest for me.
I went back and forth on this one.
Well, you have to, because you look at last year. Granted, Fort Loramie, different team, losing some guys. Botkins is a year older, year stronger, year wiser. Have experienced going there, getting to that point and dropping after having a really good regular season. Botkins took care of business in their first matchup at Fort Loramie, but then we were there when Fort Loramie came in and pulled a 180 on them in the second half and ended up winning a really good game.
Yes.
I want to be there for this game.
I do too. I'm hoping this will
really want to be there for this
work
game.
Work itself out there up in Piqua. Here's my take, Seth.
Okay.
Everything you just said is exactly right.
Well, that's the story, yeah.
And that's what I used to make my decision. I decided to go with Botkins in this one simply because I felt like that year wiser is the big thing.
I'm glad you did.
Because you're going with Laramie, aren't you?
No, I'm going with Botkins.
Oh, okay.
No, I, quite frankly, yeah, has Fort Laramie been here, done it? Are they used to this stage? Yes. Did they decide to go after Botkins? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that home loss stung bad for Botkins, especially after they dropped a game to a good Anna team, who they had also beaten previously. I think they won it bad. Jacob Plyman, one of the best players in D4 in the area. The dude is legit. His little brother Carter can also play ball.
Yes.
And then they've got Pretty Powell. Again, Pretty Powell was a little quiet in that game. Kind of too much, too little, too late.
Yes.
And the younger Plyman, Carter Plyman, the little brother, went silent after a hot start for most of it. Not a knock on him. That's a big game, big stage. Jacob was phenomenal in that game, and I think he's going to have his stamp game of this season going to be in this matchup.
I agree.
I don't think Carter goes quiet. I think they keep him involved, and I don't think Pretty Powell gets quite as shut out as he did in that game. Now, Fort Laramie, though, I mean, that's going to be one of the best games of the entire tournament.
Oh, 100%.
Real early out of Southwest Ohio. I mean, you could go anywhere else in a sectional final out of all four divisions. That might be one of the best games you're going to go see.
Agreed.
So I've got Botkins moving on in that one. And with that, I think they take care of either Cincy Christian or Fayetteville.
I feel like I was very surprised, and we'll get into it when we get to the other Cincinnati bracket. I was surprised that these seeds chose to go where they did.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's because of where the top two seeds.
Or, well, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 all went low.
And you'll
stayed away from everyone.
And we'll talk about that when we get to their Cincy bracket. But, I mean, Botkins is I almost want to say they're getting a much simpler matchup after Fort Laramie for that
district
final.
I believe so, yes.
And I think they'll beat whoever gets there, yes.
Okay. Botkins, though, will look to take on then the winner of the Central 2 bracket, which is going to be the D4 Columbus schools. They may have a path to a really deep state run, depending on who comes out of there.
I think the top seed was Cardington Lincoln, who went to that bracket, but I don't know. I don't know enough about Cardington.
I don't know, and I'm not having the bracket in front of me. I can't see if there's another team that's going to stand out in my mind, but because of where they went and how this plays out and how these districts are going to how the districts are all going to match up comparatively, when I look at who else is coming, Botkins definitely has the easier path.
Yes, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Okay, Southwest District, Southwest 2 for Division 4. Bottom part of the bracket are the Cincy schools.
Yes.
We've got Euler, New Miami, Middletown Christian, Miami Valley Christian Academy, and then we've got the number one seed, Cincy College Prep. Cincy College Prep's coming out of this one without a doubt, yes?
Well, I'm surprised, Seth, that you didn't want to talk a little bit about New Miami.
No, I do, because New Miami's been a team the last 2 years that we've shown up down, I believe it was at the district finals at UD the first time 2 years ago, and then when the regional finals were there last year, that New Miami has come in and opened my eyes. They played really good in both of those games that we watched the past couple of years.
Yes.
They've made some runs. I think New Miami will get to that sectional final. But there's a reason we saw all of those teams run away from this part of the bracket. Cincy College Prep. They got two guys in off of transfers.
They got two. I think only one's playing right now, though.
Okay.
but the transfer came from ISA Academy up in North
Was that
Carolina.
Elliott?
I think it was Munson.
Munson.
Elliott came from. I haven't seen Elliott in the scorebook.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, he was down at one of the other.
He was at a prep in Florida. But Trey Munson was at ISA.
So that might change this equation. In my head, I'm thinking Elliott and Munson both came back to the area after going, you know, ISA up near the Cleveland area for Munson. You know, prep academy down in Florida. That says something to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, an Andre Gordon going away and coming back.
Yes.
Type of deal.
Yes.
Especially at the D4 level.
It's night and day at D4 level.
That's crazy to me. Maybe that's the reason they're back, because it was, you know, big fish, little pond down here in D4. You get to those prep schools and you're comparatively a medium fish in a really, really big pond.
Yes.
Potentially. I mean, if Elliott and Munson were playing, I'd say Cincy Prep. Ta-da!
Yes. I still...
Miami could definitely give them a game, though. They're seasoned. They've been here. They can do it. They play very well as a team. I just don't know enough about Cincy Prep.
College Prep.
Cincy College Prep. You're good. I don't know enough about the rest of their roster, I guess, without knowing if Elliott's going to be there to write him in over New Miami. But that should come down to Cincy College Prep or New Miami, yes.
I agree it's going to come down to those two. For New Miami, it's a do or die. I mean, this is it. Those kids are seniors now.
Yep.
They've had 2 years. Like, if you don't get it here, then that's it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like College Prep is going to win this game.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They're state-ranked in the AP poll for a reason. Yeah.
Cincy College Prep's going on, although I do think New Miami should get there. So the Dayton schools up at the top. Play-in games, we've got big, bad, undefeated Tri-Village taking on Dayton Christian.
East Dayton Christian.
East Dayton Christian. And then we've got Legacy Christian taking on Emmanuel Christian.
Yes.
Guessing Tri-Village marching on.
Yes.
Okay, without much discussion. Tri-Village.
Correct.
Legacy Christian or Emmanuel Christian?
That's a tough one. These two played each other regular season. They both come out of the Metro Buckeye Conference, and they split the regular season, I believe. I believe they've split the regular season. If Legacy Christian had won both of these games, I would have won Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. Because they split, I'm going Legacy Christian.
Okay. So then the next games, two teams getting byes here. So South Charleston, Southeastern.
Yeah.
So Southeastern taking on Tri-Village. Mm-hmm. Again, Tri-Village is marching on.
Yes.
They're undefeated for a very good reason.
Yes.
Okay. Legacy Christian or Franklin Monroe?
This is a very
the other one.
This is another interesting one because, you know, Franklin Monroe has been kind of an up and down team. They have got some of their wins are really good wins, excuse me. Some of their losses are bad. They played regular season. These two played each other early in the year. Legacy Christian won by 26. It was like the second or third game of the year, though. I think Franklin Monroe is playing better basketball right now. But at the end of the day, I'm going Legacy in this one.
Okay. Now, Legacy Christian and Tri-Village, again, at this stage, I don't think Legacy is going to beat Tri-Village.
I don't think they've got enough pieces to do it.
Now, Tri-Village and Cincy College Prep is going to be, or New Miami, is going to be a really good game. Yep. I think if it's New Miami, I write Tri-Village through without much discussion. Cincy College Prep is probably going to depend on who all they have for that game.
I think even if they have
Tri-Village marching.
Yeah, I mean, Tri-Village, I mean, they've got,
I think when I look at the schedules and the records, I think they've played more than any other team in the area. They've got, like, they're like, what, 20-0, 21-0?
Yes.
Most other teams that have played majority full seasons are, you know, 17, 18-1, you know, Franklin, 18-1 is... That's the highest that sticks in my mind as far as record wise.
Right.
But to be 20 or 21-0,
it says a lot.
I mean, that's another two games on your slate. Plus, you've done it again all year long. You're undefeated.
Yes, I mean, there's that team does everything in terms of being able to score
everything
at a high level. They defend like a,
and they play even though they've got a standout in Lane Sarver.
Mm-hmm.
Again, arguably. Him and Plyman, Aiden Reichert, those three guys from Jackson Center, who we'll talk a little bit about. I mean, those three guys are the top three Division IV guys in
this
the area.
Area, without a doubt.
And are probably all in the slate for top, probably what, top 10 or so in the state in D4?
Maybe? Overall, I think Sarver and Plyman, yeah, I'd say all three of them, they have an
probably.
Argument.
They've
they
got it. There's a very good discussion. I mean, those three guys are just, even though Tri-Village has a guy that's in that category, they still play team basketball extraordinarily well.
Yes.
So Tri-Village marching on, even against Cincy College Prep.
Yes.
Okay. So then our last bracket and who Tri-Village will be taking on then is out of the Southwest 3 bracket, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a full local bracket. So we got a lot to unpack here. So I'm going to run down the top portion first. So we've got the second seed, Cedarville, taking on Dayton-Miami Valley, 12 seed. Then we got Tri-County North taking on Springfield Central Catholic. First game, Cedarville moving on?
Yes.
Okay. And Catholic Central moving on?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to point out, I just want to give a shout out to Tri-County North. They've got a senior in Brian Stinson.
Yep.
Dude is playing on a messed up
knee. Another
level.
Yeah.
And he's leading this team. One of the biggest hearts I've seen, biggest hearts I've seen being able to play on a messed up knee like that. So yep. Shout out to him, but it's going to be hard to compete with that Catholic Central team.
Yep. Two teams getting the byes. Twin Valley South is going to get Cedarville after that play-in game. Cedarville going to move on in that one.
Yeah, TVS has one win on the year. Yep, they're not going to get a second one against Cedarville.
Yellow Springs then gets Central Catholic after that play-in game.
Yeah.
Catholic Central?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, very good game then in this sectional final with Cedarville and Central Catholic.
Yes.
Really, really good matchup here. What are we unpacking for this one?
You know, it's hard because these two teams will have played twice. They haven't played their second matchup yet. They play Friday.
Yeah, first one, Cedarville won 44-37, so a 7-point win. You are correct. They do play on Saturday.
Yes. My kind of thought process with it, though, is Cedarville has been phenomenal this year.
They're 15-1.
Yeah, there's a reason they are. I mean, they're deep. They go about an 8 or 9 guys deep. That's really good for a Division IV team to have that many players that can go to.
And they just dropped
it's a head scratcher
for against Northeastern by 4. Now, when I take a look at it, that is after, you know, that's after they played one game against Mechanicsburg after Christmas. Before that January 5th game against Northeastern, mm-hmm. I've got to think that that's more a product of just kind of going into it lollygagging and just had an off night. Guys might not have had their heads in it.
Right.
But then very clearly you could tell that they got their heads out of their rear ends again real quick, especially when you go 3 games later and they dropped 29-point win on West Liberty Salem.
Yes.
And then since
18-point win against Legacy Christian right after that as well.
Right after that, they beat a really good Waynesville team by 14. Then they beat Central Catholic. Just beat Greenview this past Friday. Cedarville's the real deal this year.
They are.
In D4. Isaiah Ramey, Trent Koenig, and I'm drawing a blank on their big.
Hunter Baldwin?
Yeah, yes. Baldwin.
Yes.
I believe. Those three guys, Koenig and Ramey, I think, exclusively from last year to this year, might have, as far as two guys on the same team who have made leaps, I think those two are probably some of the most improved kids over the last, from last season to this season.
100%.
100%. A pair of teammates. I mean, Trent's always been able to shoot, but he's added a level of athleticism that he didn't display in years previous. Ramey had a huge growth spurt and has got his motor going now, and it's showing on the stat board and some of the interest that he's gotten throughout this year and the work that he's put in.
Yes.
I mean, this team's got it.
Yes.
I think we'll see him take care of business on Saturday against Catholic Central.
Yes.
I know it's hard to beat a team 3 times in the same year, but Cedarville's going to beat them 3 times.
Yes.
Okay. So let me go down to the lower part of the bracket. Newton and Rushi, Troy Christian and Layman Catholic, Jackson Center and Mississinewa Valley are the play-in games. Fairlawn taking the bye off of the Jackson Center play-in game. Let's just start with the easy one down low. Jackson Center, Mississinewa Valley, JC moving on.
Mm-hmm.
JC and Fairlawn then.
JC.
Yep. Two C's. Every kid on their roster, whether they're young this year or not, every kid on this roster has been here. They've played deep, deep into the state tournament multiple times. They're not slipping up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, top half of the bracket, Newton and Rushi.
This one, intriguing matchup.
Seven seed, six seed.
I took the lower seed on this one, Newton, to take the win out of that one.
Okay. Troy Christian and Layman Catholic.
This was hard. Five and four. This was harder because we haven't really covered Layman a lot, but Layman's 13. They were 13-3 going into the draw.
Okay.
They've had a pretty solid season. Troy Christian, they lost a lot from a year ago, and the fact that they were came into the draw four games above 500 was incredible. That Troy Christian team, though, they defend well, but they don't score well. I think that's what holds them back. I took Layman Catholic to get the win on that one. Okay.
Now, do you take Layman Catholic over Newton then?
I did, yes.
Okay. Now, again, I'm not going to think Layman Catholic's going to beat a team like Jackson Center, though.
You know, Jackson Center, they just find a way to turn it on in the tournament. Even if they've had a bad year or a bad regular season, come tournament time, it's like a switch. And
they haven't had a bad season.
They haven't had a bad season
in years.
But they just.
This might be their, as far as regular season record. I mean, they're sitting at 3 or 4 something in there, in the loss column.
They were 14-5 entering the draw.
So yeah, 5 games in the L column. Now, I'm pretty sure they split a lot of games this year, though, right? They split with
Anna, I feel
Anna
like.
And Fort Loramie.
In Fort Loramie, yeah. Botkins took both against them.
So there's 4 out of the 5. But those are all your other number 1 seed in Botkins, your other 2 seed in Loramie,
mm-hmm.
3 seed in Anna.
I'm sorry, I was incorrect. They play Anna Friday.
They do play.
That
so
determines the shit.
But they lost the first one to Anna.
Yes, that determines a SCAL title. It's Outrider split. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Between Anna and Botkins, if Anna loses that game, Botkins wins an outright title. If Anna wins, they split it.
It's a split. Yeah, because they also split
regular season. Yeah,
and JC's lower. So JC's moving on against Layman Catholic.
But that would split. That would make that district final.
Cedarville and Jackson Center
part two.
And Cedarville was there last year. They had a three. It was a half court shot, I think, last year that would have potentially. Would have won the game. They were down by 2 at the time.
Yes.
This is a different Cedarville team, though. I think they play much more cohesively as a full team. Nothing against Colby Cross, but when you got a guy like that who scores like that, I think a lot of those other guys deferred to him almost too much at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Ramey and Koenig's bounds forward this year have been largely due in part to that outside of the offseason work. I think this time Cedarville gets it done. It's not the same Jackson Center team. Baldwin is going to make Aiden Reichert's life tough. Whether that's going to affect him much or not, I don't know. It's the rest of the roster around Eichert that gives me a question mark in this one. And why I personally will take Cedarville. You're looking at me like you got a different opinion, though.
Because you know that you know
you're
how I feel about
Jackson
this.
Center.
I got to go Jackson Center because to me, it's just hard to look at this team and look at what they do on a normal basis, which is when it comes tournament time.
Win.
And yes, Cedarville, this team arguably is better because they're deeper, because those guys, they've grown as guys. But you still have the common denominator is you still got Aiden Reichert on Jackson Center on the other side of the court.
And does Cedarville is Baldwin going to be able to do enough to stop him?
I mean, Baldwin's been good, but I don't know how he's. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he's going to defend him.
Riker's too big, too strong.
He's too big, too strong, and Riker can do too much in terms of he can play inside and out.
I don't know,
when he pulls Baldwin out on the perimeters, is that going to be the difference maker?
Is Riker going to be able to blow up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck of a. That's another game to circle, though. In this,
it really is. These D4 district finals, that might be the games to be
at.
That's
insane. Yeah,
in March.
I mean, you're looking at what's going to end up being. So regardless of who wins that, we've got them taking on Tri-Village after Tri-Village takes out Cincy College Prep. But even if Cincy College Prep's there, regardless of who wins these games, any four of those teams have the potential to move on, would you say?
I would. 100%.
Or do you think, is there any one team that you're going to write in that you would write in just real fast out of there? You think Tri-Village is coming out of here unscathed?
No, I don't. No. I think that if the teams we think get through, great. But Tri-Village is going to have to go through Botkins. They're going to have to go through a Jackson Center.
Yep.
Those are not easy tasks. Or Cincy College Prep.
Cincy College Prep, Cedarville, or Jackson Center.
Just whoever gets
Botkins. Botkins got their game came against Fort Loramie. This Cedarville Jackson Center conversation, Tri-Village, Cincy College Prep. That's one you expect to have at the district final level,
right?
Not the sectional final
right.
level.
Right.
Botkins, I think they've got a great path here in D4.
As long as they get through Loramie, yes, they've got.
They've got to get through Loramie.
Simple is a lot simpler than these other.
But
teams.
If Loramie, but in the same token, if Loramie gets by Botkins,
they've got a good path.
A decent path. So, yes. But ultimately, you're going to take Jackson Center over Cedarville. I'll split with you there. I'll take Cedarville. Okay. We'll just have to go out there and watch that game.
We're going to have to.
There's a lot of these games in here that we're circling as much-watched games for good reason. Everybody's been deprived, I think, at times this year or over the last year from sports, from all this excitement that it can bring. Obviously, the regular season's one thing, but there's just something different when it comes to state tournament time in Ohio for basketball.
100%. So. And it's going to be unfortunate not to have the small town culture of the fans coming to the game.
Showing out and packing out arenas.
But you know what? Like you said, at least we're playing.
Yep.
There was a while there where I didn't think we were going to play. So at least we're playing, God willing, and knocking on wood right now.
Yep, and for those teams, I'm sure they're going to try to have live streams up here and there with video stuff. Radio stations will be out there. We'll be out there calling games, I'm sure, at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
So be looking for that, guys. That'll wrap up all four divisions for at least the district, up through district. So we'll be back here in a couple of weeks after things shake themselves out. Work themselves out, blood, sweat, and tears, get left on the court. We'll come back to you and talk then.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Seth Keim signing off.
Tony Peters. Talk to you guys later.